It's me, psychic artist and medium Melanie Alberts, with another Psychic Playdate podcast. How cool is it that today's guest got into the study of astrology through classic literature? Central Texas astrologer and student of AP English Lit, Kramer Wetzel, came into astrology through the back door, so to speak, from the technology side, but discovered he enjoyed writing horoscopes. Since 1993, he's been creating readings for people and posts them online because he brings hope to the table, a quality you really have to admire in someone who practices a divination tool in which many readers focus, on the bad side of life. Today, Kramer visits, and his enthusiasm for astrology is real. I've been intrigued by astrology since I was quite young. Kramer gives us a cool tip as to how to read horoscopes for the best interpretation. He claims that when he does a chart, he's not objective, and he feels that intuition is important. I like that. He calls astrology a sacred science, and I know you'll enjoy listening to him riff on his love of astrology. We talk about it, touch on Chaucer, how it works. Kramer gives us a bit of info about what's going on right now for us, and for me, a mini astrological reading in this month before my 60th birthday. Let's not keep him waiting any longer. Let's go say hi. Hi, Kramer.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's Monday all over the place, right?
That's right. We're recording this on October 3rd, 2022. And of course, dates and times are very important for the work that you do.
Right.
Yeah. So let's tell the listener a little bit about your background, how long you've been practicing astrology.
It's when we talk about how long I've been practicing astrology, there's a bit of a lead-in that goes with that, because I spent a lot of time, one of my first jobs was working in restaurants and then working in bars. And I spent a lot of time correlating the phase of the moon to the behavior of people. And the run-up to the full moon just about every time would be a lot of raucous behavior and higher sales. And right after the full moon, and I reiterate this time and again with clientele, right after the full moon, I have a greater chance of having to call the police to break up a fight.
Right after the full moon, not during the full moon?
After the full moon.
Wow.
And as I've studied this even closer, I found out that usually happens when the moon is in the sign after it is full.
Mm-hmm.
Just a casual way that I look at it. Now, that's the very beginning of where I started working with this stuff. And I pursued a degree in literature, English literature, after a bunch of false starts, wound up with a degree in English literature. And it was in some of that, it was one of those first of the Chaucer books, introductory to The Wife of Bath.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she owed her hardy constitution to the fact that she had Taurus on the horizon when she was born.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
She was a Taurus rising.
Nice.
And that piqued my interest, and I delved back into the astrology. Then by the time I got into Shakespeare, Shakespeare's work is just shot through with astrological references. And it's kind of fascinating to watch it. And this dovetailed in. I came in to this business from the computer side, as somebody who was going to write the text that they use in the various chart interpreters. Nowadays it would be for an app. And I came in from that side, and coming in from that side, I backed into discovering that I really enjoyed doing the readings themselves, sitting down with somebody going through their chart. Starting in 93, actually, I wrote my first horoscope in 1987, but my first horoscope column was in 1987, but about 1993, that's as far back as my current records go, I started writing a monthly horoscope, and that transitioned in 95 to a weekly horoscope, And that's where the weekly horoscope is where I have the most fun.
Oh, good. And I think you do have a lot of fun. And we talked a little bit about horoscopes and how some readers maybe tend to be a little pessimistic or dramatic or all doom and gloom. And you're not like that.
In my natal chart, I have a Sagittarius sun. The Sagittarius sun, there's a certain element of hope that we always bring to the table. At least
Nice.
I'd like to think that. There's one of the problems that I encountered in horoscopes is that after you've got about 7 years of material, you can recycle stuff pretty easily. Like what I used on Tuesday for Scorpio, I can use on Thursday for Taurus. And I have a pretty solid guideline of no recycling material like that. I tried that exactly once and it tanked badly. That was back in the early 90s. So I've never done that since.
Well, I can say that I find horoscopes really fascinating, and I've been following them since I was a child. We used to get those books of, of that, your life in a year according to your horoscope. But unfortunately, I was born on the cusp, and I always thought I was a Sagittarius. Grew up thinking I'm a Sagittarius, and then it was just like, trying to make it fit. And I realized that when I actually had my natal chart done, I asked my mother what time of day I was born. She said, "Oh, you were born just as I was putting the turkey in the oven," because I was born on Thanksgiving Day. And I was born 45 minutes later. And so I was born at 9:45 in the morning.
All right, that's really odd because I was born on Thanksgiving Day too.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
Then you're a Sagittarius.
Yeah, oh, very
Wow.
much so.
What year were you born?
57. There's
Oh,
a
okay.
difference though. I spoke to you about this on the phone earlier when on our pre-interview, if you will. I had a woman sit in front of me briefly on just the other day, Sunday, and she was born on 11/22. And as soon as she told me 11/22, I just squealed like a little girl. Eee! Because it's like this one's going to be one of those good ones. And she did have a Sagittarius sun, which just it was. I was thinking specifically about you because it's the same set of conditions. It's like, which one are you?
Yeah, which one
That's
am I?
what makes astrology charts so fascinating is there's a whole lot of different layers to them. One of the things that I discovered after doing this, and the first time I had to teach, the first time I was tapped to go teach an astrology class, it was great because I put together all kinds of material, no, actually it was a very rudimentary presentation software, and I was going to do flashcards and note cards and notes and everything else. And when I got up there, I just swung into it the way I usually do, and it worked just fine.
Oh, good, good.
Also means I know I finally learned my material.
Oh,
The
yeah.
another part of that though, because I've been doing presentations like that and like this for so long, I've discovered, as an example, I have one client who is one sign, but everything is in a particular house. And in that case, that client looks like that house rather than the sign.
Okay. I'm not sure
What?
exactly what that means, but I'm sure my listeners have a better idea.
Yeah. It varies from individual to individual. Each chart is different. It's like on your chart, I would concentrate on the Scorpio flavors. Okay. And the concentrate on the positive side of the Scorpio flavors.
Oh, thank you.
But it depends on what it is that jumps out of a chart because each one is individual and each one is very, very different. And on different charts, different things are important.
Okay, good. I can
It's a
understand that. I
matter
can
of figuring out
appreciate that.
which piece is the piece to concentrate on. Now, for example, my horoscopes are all written in a sun sign format. But I would always encourage people to read their sun sign, their moon sign, and their rising sign.
Oh, okay. So it's good to know all those things. And you can probably figure those out on your own using an app if you don't happen
There's
to know.
a plethora of online sources for that now. I
So
have
what?
been enthralled with the little millennials that come up and go, and not only do they know what their sun sign is, but they know their moon sign and they know their rising sign, and they know that they have a stellium and such and such and so such and such a place. And I ask them a year, and I will recite something from their chart, and they go, "How did you know that?" And their eyes widen. It's like, I've done it for a long time, and I've looked at your friends' charts.
I can't imagine that reading your own chart would be a good idea. You probably need somebody who is totally objective and doesn't know you.
Brings up an interesting point. One of the things that I maintain is that I am not completely objective.
Oh.
When I look at your chart, I'm looking at your chart through my Sagittarius eyes. I would like to say that I'm objective, all right? I'm not. When I look at your chart, I'm colored by, 28 years of looking at Scorpio charts, and I have some very definite opinions.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be interested to hear that in a little bit. We'll be covering my chart in a few
So
minutes.
the question was, looking at my own chart and having somebody look at it objectively, I don't know. There are not many people that I would trust to look at it objectively.
Okay.
There are people who there's several people that I discuss chart details with, and it's great to get some feedback, but no, it's not always objective.
Okay. So
And that's
when you go looking for, if you're a person who wants to look for an astrologer to read their chart, what should they look for?
I love working at the psychic fairs
Oh, good
or
idea.
metaphysical expos, or like at Nature's Treasures. I just adore that location. And there are a couple of places here that I've worked. I've worked in just about every little New Age shop between here and Albuquerque at one time or another. And it's find somebody and get a quick reading and find out if you resonate with them. Because a chart is something that's intensely personal. There's a, and you want some word, you want to feel comfortable with that person. You want to be feel comfortable with the information they're delivering. One of my dearest his Scorpio buddy reads charts, and the problem is that he's got this, it's always bad news. No matter what happens with the chart, it's always bad news. And I don't think it's always bad news. We have tough time, we have challenges, but it's there are ways through this. It's my opinion.
Yeah, I think it should be
So
balanced.
to find somebody to go back to the original question, to find somebody to read your chart, find somebody you're comfortable with, and you can sit down with them for a longer session at some point. I think that's the it's find somebody that there's got to be that level of comfort. There's people who will post a lot of information on any one of the social media platforms. And if there's one of those that you gravitate to, that's a clue that you found somebody that you like.
Well, good. And I like you because I've been reading your weekly call-in and thought, well, I love his sense of humor and I love your lightness. And you're the perfect person to have on a play date because of that.
Yeah. It's also the thing, reading a chart can be very serious, and it's a sacred science, because the location of the planets is straight up science. You go out in the night sky with a telescope and observe where they are exactly. The meaning is interpretation, and there's a little bit of an art form to that. There's also an intuitive facility that comes into play. Which element do I need to concentrate on? And right now, which element is most important?
Good, good. I
And
like
that's
that.
the. Have one client who always calls me at the end of a working day and demands to know what the patterns were. And it's like, well, it and There will be a particular planet in a particular location that I will see over and over throughout the day. One of the places I worked for a while, or one of the places I was a contractor who did readings, I guess is the proper expression. The whole front staff, everybody up there had a Virgo moon. It was all different sun signs, but they all had like this strong little flavor of Virgo that ran through them. It's like, really?
Do you think that they
Everybody?
were all attracted to that place for a certain reason? Well, I want to know more about I'm just been thinking about the wife of Bath. And I want to know what her sign was. What was her sun sign?
She was a Taurus.
She was a Taurus.
She was a
Okay,
Taurus,
and
and I may have misquoted that. And I have a copy here, but don't ask me to read Middle English right now.
so isn't that perfect for her, considering her
Six
personality?
husbands,
Yeah.
five for money, one for love.
She was a hoot.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, the rich husbands all mysteriously died. Moving
Oh, I
on.
wonder how that happened.
Moving forward, she was a Taurus with Mars on the ascendant, I believe is what it was. Anyway, there was definite astrological information in there. Of course, one of Chaucer's other works was the Astrolabe, which was about calculating. In 1300, the astrology and astronomy were the same science.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so that's before the church broke us up.
Interesting. I like that. And but the average person knew about it.
Yeah, that's why in Shakespeare's time, people would know where the planets were, even, and they would know which one was which, even if they didn't know what they meant or the exact degree, that sort of thing.
That's how they navigated ships, and
Right.
that's how they knew the weather. And but how,
I
the thing that really
Stonehenge was
makes,
built.
oh yeah, Stonehenge.
Yeah, Stonehenge was built as an observatory.
Yeah. So what kind of freaks me out is all this information is coming from these constellations with planets and stars so far apart. How does this work? How
Okay.
does it
All right.
work? That's what I want to
Real
know.
simple. Western astrology, which is the basis of what I use. I've studied several different schools, but I use Western astrology. Western astrology, the 12 signs, okay, those constellations aren't exactly 30 degrees wide. They're different sizes. However, what the original, it goes back to the Middle East, and then it was the Greeks, and then the Romans. And what they did is they put a circle up, and they named each slice of that pie, just like a well, it was I don't think pizza's ever divided up equally, but they divided it up equally and gave each one a name for that particular slice, name for where that constellation was. In 2,000 years, we're a couple of degrees different. Next comes the. The 13th sign question that gets trotted out every couple of years, and I've already written a rebuttal for it, and I'm not going to do that again. But it's the horoscopes that I use are based on signs that are approximately or that are exactly 30 degrees wide. The signs are named for the constellations, but they're not where the constellations are now necessarily. We did was take the night sky and divide it up into something where we could locate everything easily.
And how was the meaning given to the different signs?
One of my favorite, one of the very early texts that helped me a lot with this was, these are some of the concepts and understandings that we have of what the sign means. Interpret it for yourself and figure out what it means to you. And I like that.
Yeah, I do too. Me too.
It's I have When a Scorpio sits down with me, I squeal. Just like a little schoolgirl. And, because you guys are really exciting, there's a lovely intensity that you have that nobody else has, nobody can match you guys. And there's a certain kind of dedication
Oh,
And
right.
when you acquire a target, it's this is going to happen. It's going to be the easy way or it's going to be the hard way, but this is going to happen.
Oh, yeah, you can just talk to my husband about
Yeah,
that.
exactly.
So before we get into my chart, tell us a little bit about what's going on right now.
What's going on right now? As of Sunday morning, about 4 in the morning, Mercury was officially no longer retrograde. Mercury goes
Yay.
retrograde 3 or 4 times a year. And I use it as one of the easiest guidelines because it has the easiest replicable results. Replicable results. And I have guidelines for when it's retrograde. I don't have rules because, as a Sagittarius, if I had rules, I'd have to break them, but I don't have rules. But they're it's easy to follow some of the guidelines. I try not to sign important documents. I try not to make big purchases during that time. Not a good time to buy technology. And when I say technology, I mean like the big stuff. I did a little bit of tweaking on my website when Mercury was retrograde. And instead of doing one change, I had to do it was a color change, a seasonal color change, not really a big deal. But I had to change it about 17 times before I got it right.
Oi vey.
Oh, and that's when Mercury's retrograde. And I know it's retrograde. It's not. So Mercury is now no longer retrograde, but it is still in Virgo. Virgo is a sign that it is associated with. I'm trying to get away from patriarchy, so I don't say that it rules, Mercury rules Virgo, but it's the sign it's associated with. And it's if you run into those really very mercurial Virgo types, and they're wonderful. Anyway, Mercury is in Virgo, but it's going direct. We're not out of the woods, and everybody's doing a whole bunch of cleanup right now.
Good. It's a good time for
And
that.
we have a full moon coming on the 10th. So we're going to have a major lunar cycle on the 10th, on Monday. So Monday, moon day, couldn't be more perfect.
Well, maybe that's when this podcast will air. I'll air it a little bit earlier so we can have it on the full moon. Yeehaw.
And Mars, the other one that I've spent a lot of time talking about right now is Mars. Mars entered Gemini. Mars usually spends about 60 days in a sign, 2 months more or less. And Mars entered Gemini last August, and it's going to stay in Gemini until next March. And I adore my little Gemini energy, but there's a kind of it's always something. They're always going and always going and always going. And it's something that's this and that. It's a lot of attention going everywhere. The Mars in Gemini right now, what it's doing, it's going to get to the end of Gemini. It's going to stop. It's going to retrograde. It does retrograde every 2 years. It's going to retrograde back, but it's going to stay all in Gemini. So we're going to have like an extended period of time with Mars and Gemini doing this kind of frantic. I've got to change this. No, I've got to change that. No, I've got an energy that is like a global kind of ADD.
Oh, great.
There, that would be it.
That's all we need. Global ADD.
Well,
Okay.
that's kind of what's happened. This short attention span has become a bit of a problem.
Globally.
Yeah. It goes retrograde on October 30th, and then it stays retrograde until January 11th. Now, on top of this, that's all going on in Gemini, and Gemini is a mutable sign, and this doesn't have the force that there was a long Mercury, excuse me, a long Mars retrograde in Scorpio a couple of years back that was very intense and really dredged up a lot of inner stuff for people. This one is not going to be quite like that. But at the end of it, on December 29th, Mercury goes retrograde again. See, every 3 or 4 years. I mean, every 3 or 4 months. It's not a big deal. Mercury goes retrograde, and it's going to be all in Capricorn. And it doesn't get straightened out until about the same time Mars does. And that's just going to add a little bit of a did you deal with this? Yes. Did you deal with this? Yes. Did you deal with this? Yes. Did you deal with I dealt with it.
So keep that in mind in January.
Yeah.
January, okay.
Well, and the first of the everything that the new year promises either starts on December 31st, excuse me, December 21st, or it doesn't start until we get into February. Pick. We're not going to see it in January.
Okay.
All those New Year's resolutions, well, 80% of the New Year's resolutions that people will make this year will fail within the first week or two.
And that's because of this retrograde.
Yeah. And it's sort of a tag team retrograde. It's really going to like slam some people around a little bit.
So don't make your New Year's resolutions until February.
Right.
You heard it here first.
Now, we've got one other thing that's kind of exciting. Well, exciting for me, maybe not exciting for you. Two elements, really. The first element is going to be Saturn is in Aquarius right now. And Saturn's been in Aquarius for a while, and it's been stirring this up a little bit. Aquarius, if we go back to our what we look at, Aquarius squares Scorpio, and also squares Taurus, and it's opposed from Leo. Those are the four fixed signs. So we've got Saturn in a tension area where it's calling attention to things that need to be called attention to. Aquarius being the sign of the rebel and Saturn being the sign of the conservative, we've kind of got a little bit of a battle between conservative and rebel going on. The story that I like, and you can look this one up online because it's not really true, but it's not really not true. It's the story about the boosters for the space shuttle. They had two on either side because they had to travel by train from California to Florida to be launched. And the reason that they had to do two is so they would fit through the tunnels in the Rockies. And the reason I'm trying to compact this story, the reason the trains are a certain width is because they were laid down originally in England. And the reason they were that width in England is because that's the width of the Roman roads. So we have Roman bureaucracy that went into space.
Love it.
And that's because that's the way we've always done it. We're up against that because we've always done it this way right now. And it's perhaps time for a bit of a change. And with what's going on, the other thing, when I say change, it's like sometimes you take it out of the box, you look at it and say, it fits in that box, and you put it back in. But if you don't take it out of the box to look, you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one of the ones that I like.
Well, we have just a few more minutes, and I wanted you to get to my chart before we end today.
Okay. You're just wrapping up a Saturn return. Saturn goes around our chart every 28 to 30 years. Saturn is about structure. Saturn, especially about this, is stuff going on at home and getting situated at home, and we're just coming out of a pandemic, and you're just going back to work would be my guess.
I've been back to work about a year.
Oh, you've been back for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you guys do some renovations at home or do some straightening out or figure out a better, what?
Oh yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
Like a complete redo? Good.
No, not a complete redo. We just have to, you know, clear some stuff out.
Yeah. I have clothes that I haven't worn in 5, 7, 10 years. It's time for to let them go, right? Yeah. The other thing that is fascinating about your chart, to me, to two elements, they're both part of your Scorpio chart, is you've got Mercury really tightly conjunct your sun. So you're one of those people that you think and feel at the same time, and trying to divide up whether you're thinking it or you're feeling it isn't going to be particularly effective for you.
Yeah, I understand.
That was a whole mouthful. And the other part that I like is you've got Neptune and Venus real close to each other, and there's always going to be a really strong spiritual component with the relationships that you've had in the past, or with your marriage as an example. Mm-hmm. Really strong spiritual component, however you want to flavor that. You have a Libra moon, and I like it because it's in the ninth house. The ninth house is the Sagittarius house, and that's that love of learning, love of being around books, and love of like all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Scorpio with the Libra moon does present a bit of a problem with relationships, but you know, that's your problem, not mine. Prior to finding a good one, there were some bad ones.
Oh, definitely.
About that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing that one of the things that I really like about your chart is people born between 1960 and 1970 have Pluto and Virgo, and usually Uranus and Virgo too. And those are two like generational signatures, two planets. Each one is a generational signature, but to have them both in Virgo, you're not quite. The boomers are what I would say Pluto and Leo, and the Xers are Pluto and Libra. So we've got this little group in between, and we don't have anything to hold on to. We're not boomers, we're not Xers, we don't fit with anybody. We're not allowed to hit them either. Well, we're too old for that now, but yeah. It's kind of fascinating because it makes you really good at working with other people's stuff. What you
Oh,
got
what does
coming
that mean? That makes me good at working with other people's
up?
stuff.
In some aspects, you'd be a good business manager. You would be good at directing people what to do. And I have a vague idea of what your day job is, so I have to be careful.
I don't boss people around too much.
That's because they want to do this.
Yeah.
You have the Libra moon. We can do this the easy way. We can do this the hard way. You'll let us. You'll lead us to the easy way every time.
Oh yeah, that's me.
But the Saturn return is not going to be done with for a little bit longer. What I have found happens is we get the flavor of our Saturn return when Saturn enters the sign that it's in your birth chart. We get the flavor of it. The actual impact was some time ago for you. You don't. You just got a little bit of stuff that's coming up cosmically that's saying you need to review this one more time. It's not bad. Just take one more look at it. When Saturn goes into Pisces, there'll be much hue and cry about it. And as Saturn goes into Pisces, it's going to line up with your Jupiter. When it lines up with your Jupiter, you have got an opportunity to dig in and do a little bit more work. Are you employed by the state? Is that who
Yes.
signs it? Okay. Keep putting in the time. All right. It'll pay off, I
Oh, good.
promise.
Okay.
And that's, you won't see a lot of reward immediately, but there will be reward on down the road.
That sounds good.
It's and you're do you do art?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you have to. Sorry. That's the Venus Neptune conjunction. It's something you have to do. But as long as you're doing something like that, it's like what's going to happen is some of that is going to really start to get some recognition.
Oh, really? Well, that's
Yeah.
nice. Excellent.
It
Thank you.
doesn't happen right away, but it does happen. What other questions you got?
Well, I just wanted to wrap it up because we've got 2 minutes and I wanted to just leave on a really good note.
Do you lead with being a Scorpio or do you keep that in reserve?
I'm not sure what that means.
Do you let them know right away or do you pretend there is no stinger? You're one of the nice ones. I know that.
I'm
They
a
always,
nice one. I'm a nice
yeah.
Scorpio. I don't sting too hard.
Don't want to provoke you to find out otherwise. So, but do you lead with the fact that you're one of the joyful ones?
Yeah, I guess. I guess I'm joyful.
Yeah, there's another element in your chart that I'm playing with, and I haven't got it. I don't have an immediate handle on it, so maybe some other time.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Kramer. I
Thank
really
you.
enjoyed
This
talking with you today.
is a very pleasurable for me.
Well, good. I'm glad. And I'll have you back on and we can talk some more, maybe around the new year about
Yeah,
predictions.
there's going to be big stuff up ahead in the new year.
Good. I can't wait.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. There's so much to talk about, and I look forward to having Kramer Wetzel back for a deeper dive next year. Please visit his site, astrofish.net, to read Kramer's weekly readings, and if you're in the Austin, Texas area, look him up at Nature's Treasures. I hope you enjoyed this episode and get a chance to gaze at the moon tonight or feel its presence wherever and whenever you listen to our chat. Most days, I'm up early enough to see the moon in the morning sky, and that's one of my favorite times of day. People's love and reverence of the moon, the stars, the universe, is something that unites us and has done so across the centuries. As we play with our knowledge and lean into the mysteries, we see that, like bands of a rainbow, we may appear distinct, but are made of the same awareness. Hey, thank you for listening and believing in the power of play.